Well, it is a privilege and a blessing, and I'm grateful every time I get to stand and preach on Sunday morning, and so I'm grateful to be here. And as we begin this morning, let me just say you might feel at times, or perhaps the whole time, that this morning we're a little bit too on the nose. And what do I mean by that? Well, this morning my hope is not to try and twist something out of Scripture and say, look at this thing you've never seen before. In fact, we're going to walk through the beginning of the book of Joshua and probably hear what you have heard this morning many times before. My hope is to share a remarkable point in the life of Joshua that may be a point that we've heard before, but are once again encouraged. Certainly, I hope that our seniors and families hear these words, hear this point in Joshua's life, and are encouraged as Joshua was encouraged to be strong and courageous. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. It will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible, or many of the seats have a Bible underneath them if you'd like to use one of those. We are stepping away this morning from our series in Philippians just as we celebrate and recognize our seniors today. I do think that if we want to understand the richness of this text, we are going to have to dig in a little bit, maybe even look in front of it a little bit, and even jump to some other passages in Scripture that point towards it so that we can see the fullness of what's going on. But let's start by reading this passage today, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 9. Follow with me as we read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father, we pray that you would bless the reading and hearing of your word this morning. We thank you for it and the blessing it is. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. There are three things I want us to focus on, three separate passages here in this text as we walk through that I think as we see them will be encouragement to the seniors, to the parents, and then hopefully to each and every one of us this morning as we walk through it. The first thing that we see as we look at the very first two verses is we see Joshua's moment of transition to leadership. Let's look again at those first two verses. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. I think to really catch the weight of this moment, like the bigness of what is happening here, because if you're not careful, if you just jump into the book of Joshua and don't read it in the greater historical context, we might skip just how big or miss just how big this moment actually is. So I want to take just half a second, and maybe in your Bible you're not even turning over the page, and look at Deuteronomy chapter 34, the very end in verse 10. And here's what it says about the death of Moses. Verse 10, no prophet has arisen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unparalleled for all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do against the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his officials, to all his land, and for all the mighty acts of power and terrifying deeds that Moses performed in the sight of Israel. To put it lightly, Moses was the man. He was the dude. In common parlance, he was the goat, right? He was the greatest of all time. He was the greatest that the people of Israel had ever known. However you want to say it, that was Moses. He was God's man. The text here uses the phrase, the servant of the Lord. We don't want to understand the servant of the Lord as just an understanding that Moses was a guy that helped out a whole lot of people. That phrase is actually a title. It would have been like calling him a doctor, right? It is something that is attached to his name. He is Moses, the servant of the Lord. And in fact, in the Old Testament, there are very few people outside of Moses who are actually given this title. It follows to Joshua, and just a few other people are called that. It is an important name. Think about all that Moses did for the people of Israel. He led the people of Israel out of slavery. He stood against the wicked Pharaoh. He brought the plagues and stood for the people. He brought to the people, when they came out of slavery, the law. He gave them a new way from God of governing themselves under God's leadership. He walked with them to the promised land, and then he walked with them as they suffered the consequences of their actions and wandered in the wilderness. He was the man who struck a rock and water poured out. He was the one who did all of these incredible things. And Exodus 33 tells us that Moses quite literally stood before the face of God in the tent of meeting, and he would meet with God and meet with God face to face. Exodus 33 says that God would speak to Moses face to face, and then Moses would come out of the tent of meeting and go tell the people what God said. When Joshua writes this eulogy in kind of the end of Deuteronomy in verses 10 through 12, the words that he uses are right and good. There was and would be no one like Moses until the one who is greater than Moses, Jesus, would arrive, and he would be the one to lead his people. Moses was the man. And chapter 1, the words of the Lord to Joshua in verse 2 say this: Moses is dead. It's very abrupt, right? To hear about how awesome Moses is, to have, right, one book that leads us there, and then four books that talk about what Moses does to lead the people, and then we get to Joshua, and God goes, the dude's dead, let's go. That's pretty kind of like, whoa, right? This should feel like it's a sudden shift, a turn in the wheel real hard to the right. Because Israel would be dismayed. Israel would be in a place of great mourning and doubt over who they are. They find themselves on the opposite side of a river from literal giants. Not figurative. These are the people who would have as their descendants people like Goliath, who are giants. And they have many of them, and they are wicked, wicked people. And they're being told to cross this river, and the one who they thought should be the guy to do it because he's done all of these great things, God goes, that guy's dead. But the Lord is not surprised. He never is. He is not scrambling for what to do next. He has a plan, and that plan is Joshua. Listen to the words of the Lord. My servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Notice how quickly God moves from Moses is dead to get up and arise. It's that fast. It's separated by one punctuation mark, one period. And Moses, we see, if we go back and read the fullness of chapter 34, we see that Moses has already been preparing them for this, certainly preparing Joshua for this. He has already passed on leadership to Joshua, and God has already blessed that leadership because it says in verse 9 that he has filled Joshua with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. God is telling Joshua, you can't sit here, you can't wait, it's time to get moving. Here's something I want us to see this morning coming out of these first couple verses of chapter 1. Transition is a reality of life. moving from one stage of life to the next one is something that's true of every single person in this room. We are all, or have all, moved from one stage. It is adolescence to adulthood. It is singleness to married life. It is no kids to kids. It is having toddlers to having teenagers, having a full house to being an empty nest. It is empty nest to grandkids all over the place. It is from work to retired, and there are so many other transitions in life. We all walk through them. We all move from one season to another. But here is the one thing this passage could encourage us towards this morning, is that we are not called to push off the responsibility of the next season of life. We are certainly not called to push off the spiritual responsibility of that next season. But rather, as God encouraged Joshua to get up, to arise and go, we are called to run fast into the faithful use of our gifts and the mission God has for us in the next part of our lives. Seniors in the room, I can promise you that God's desire for you is not that you put off the spiritual responsibility of the next part of your life. It is not that you would say, I'll get serious about my faith later, I'll get serious about serving the Lord later, but rather that you ask God in trust, how can I serve you in college? Or how can I live on mission for you in my dorm, on my team, in my classes, on my campus, or in my job? What can I do, God, to continue serving you? But that's a reality that we can all be encouraged by, because it's not just for the seniors who are graduating. It is true for all of us. Whatever stage we are in, right? And however recently we got there, or however far the next one might be away, we can ask about the current season of life and ask ourselves, what can I do to serve the Lord in this stage of life? How can I be living on the mission that God has for me? Joshua was standing right on the front end of that transition. He was moving from one stage of life to the next one. And in this new moment, God says, it's time to get to work. But he doesn't tell him, it's time to get to work, I'll see you on the other side. And that's the beautiful thing. See, Joshua and Moses were up on this mountain. Moses had gone up there, right? And then Joshua comes back down to be with the people. And it's kind of like, where's Moses? Right? And Joshua comes down, but he comes down with words of encouragement from the Lord. And so I want to see in this next part that we see transition is a reality of life. Joshua is moving from one to the next, but we see even in that next season, God's faithful promises. Let's look at verses 3-5. The Lord says this to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river and the Euphrates and the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. See, God reminds Joshua, as he's transitioning into this next stage of life, as he's moving into leadership, he reminds him of two very, very important promises that you and I need to be reminded of often. Number one, victory is already ours, because number two, God will be with us. God says, victory is yours, Joshua, because I will be with you. The Lord reminds Joshua of a promise that he would have heard for a long time as Moses' assistant, and he would have known and he would have stored it up in his heart. But yet still in this moment, he needed the encouragement from God. Don't forget, I've already won the victory because I'm going with you. The promise of victory didn't die with Moses. Indeed, God's promises to us are not tied even to any earthly person. Dale Ralph Davis says it this way in his commentary on the book of Joshua. It says, Moses may die, God's promise lives on. There is the passing of an era, yet the endurance of the promise. Yahweh's fidelity does not hinge on the achievements of men, however gifted they may be, nor does it evaporate in the face of funerals or rivers. Israel is standing there knowing that Moses has died, having heard all the promises that God made to Moses, and they would be asking the question, Moses is gone, does that mean God's done with us? Is he finished with me? I mean, he made all these promises to Moses, and Moses did all these things, and God says, my promises aren't tied to you. My promises are tied to me and my faithfulness. And so I'm going to continue to be faithful to you. God had promised to make Israel his people, not because they were the best around, but because he is a good God who said, I will make a name for myself and a people for myself. It's pretty incredible to think about the promise that is given here to Joshua that he is reminded of wasn't even a promise made first to Moses. It was a promise that goes all the way back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. As Abram, before he becomes Abraham, is traveling. God has said, hey, I want you to get up and leave the land that is your home. And I want you to go on this journey. Where are we going, God? I'll tell you when we get there, right? And he says, just trust me and follow me. And Abraham is walking through the land. And he gets to a point in what is called Canaan. And God says, Abraham, stop. Stop right here. Now look around. Look around at what you see. And I want you to know something, Abraham. One day, years from now, all of this, everything that you can see and even further beyond that, I'm going to give it to my people who are your descendants. Yeah, but God, I don't even know if I'm going to have any descendants. No, you are. I promised you it's going to happen. And one day this land, it will be theirs. It will be theirs. And hundreds of years later, we see Joshua being reminded of that promise that God would grant them victory because he was with them as he stands on the other side of a river being told to go get it. God is faithful to his promises. God reminds Joshua of these two promises, not just one. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. It says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I want us to understand that this promise isn't that God's going to make Joshua some great military leader. Not that he is going to be the greatest, most brilliant strategist the world has ever seen. He's going to be so charismatic that all the people in the land will follow him and do whatever he says, and that he can even go out on a battlefield and speak so eloquently that the enemy lays down their weapons and says, nope, this is the guy. I've heard it. Man, look how great he is. God says what? No man will be able to stand before you because I will be with you. Joshua will do these things because he walks with and by the leadership of the Lord. God says, you're not going to do any of this alone. I'm going with you. The reality is, you and I, too many times, we can get trapped into thinking or chasing some idea of success that is in front of us, but we forget who has to be beside us for us to actually get there. We look straight ahead and run after that thing, and we forget that we have to run with the Lord in the direction that he calls us. Seniors, we've already talked about it. There are a great many great things ahead of you and so many opportunities for success. But I can promise you, and you can ask many of the people in this room, if you run after those things without remembering to walk side by side with the Lord, you will get there and it will feel like failure and misery and emptiness. You will chase and chase and chase, and no matter what you will achieve, you will be left wanting more. And I can also promise you this, whatever goal you set out in front of you, and I hope you do, I hope you chase after those great things. But if you walk side by side with the Lord, get there or don't, and you will still never fail because you will walk side by side with the Lord. Parents, I know that there is anxiety in this room for those who have seniors this year, but for any of us as parents, I know that you feel the anxiety around raising kids. There are always questions in the back of our mind about, are we doing a good job? What will they become? Who will they be? What will they accomplish? I can promise you, if we focus our hearts on the Lord and raise them in the Lord, those fears are not ours to have because we walk with him. And there we find success. So many of us get caught up in what we should be doing that we forget who we should be doing it for. Friends, we need to cast our eyes on Jesus. Focus our attention on the one who is faithful to his promises to us as he has been faithful through all of history. Remember his goodness and remember his presence. God's promises here remind us that success starts with planting our feet firmly next to Jesus Christ, following step by step with him in the direction he is leading us, and then trusting that he is taking us in the direction of success from him. And when we do that, nothing can keep us from real, true success. Hear the words from the author of Hebrews as he points back to this passage in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You and I have nothing to fear when it comes to failure, because real success isn't found in the material things or the achievements or the accolades that this world can offer. And when we remember those promises of the Lord, our heart is ready to hear how we can chase after true success. So Joshua is transitioning into a moment of leadership, but he's not doing it alone. He hears the faithful promises of God as he walks, that you already have victory and I will go with you to give you that victory. But even still, we could maybe stop and say, isn't that enough? Isn't it enough for God to just say, victory's yours, go get it, it's fine. Even still, God encourages, use that word intentionally, Joshua. He calls him to courage. Let's read those last few verses again before we move on. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. We keep talking about real success, but I think it's important for us to define it. Verse 7 tells us that success is not found in fame or in fortune, but in faithfulness. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. I said we're going to be two on the nose, and I think I'm going to say something here that all of us understand at times. The world has duped us. It's lied to us. It's tricked us. It's hoodwinked us. It's bamboozled us, whatever fun word you want to use there. The world has not told us the truth, and it works really hard to get us as believers caught up in what it can offer. We fall into the trap of thinking some honor or accolade that man can give carries enough importance that we ought to live for it and for it alone. We watch Oscars and Emmys and Grammys and galas, and we really believe that those statues given mean anything more than one person saying to another, I really like what you did there. We see the guy down the street park his new car or his new truck or his new boat in the driveway. We see that brand new phone a friend has, or that watch, or that gadget, or that gizmo. We hear about that trip that somebody went on, that experience they had, that vacation they received, and we think, man, they got it all together. If I could just be like them, then I'll be successful. We chase after raises and promotions and bonuses and sales quotas and jobs, and we do all of this because the world has told us that that's what success looks like. But it's a lie. 100 years, 1,000 years, 100,000 years from now, how much of that is going to matter? Success has to be so much bigger than what this world has to offer you and I. It's got to be bigger than stuff. It's got to be bigger than that. And that is why you and I can have none of those things and be more successful than anyone in this world could ever be, could ever lift up as the idea of success. Seniors, whatever is at the end of the next 4 or 6 or 8 years of college, it will ultimately not define your success. Certainly not your greatest success. Instead, your success will be determined by the answer to one question: was I faithful to the Lord? And that is where, and that is why God says, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Remembering who is beside us gives us boldness, not looking towards what's ahead of us. Not chasing after that success, not chasing after that thing or whatever. That's not what gives it to us. Remembering that God is with us and being faithful to God is what gives us the boldness to be really successful. You see, when we remember God's promises, that he will never leave us or forsake us, our heart is emboldened towards one specific thing the word says: faithfulness and obedience. When the world says, chase this, we can boldly say, I'm not going to, because that doesn't define me. When the comparison game of the world loves to, the comparison game the world loves to play plants the seeds of jealousy and envy in our hearts, Christ gives us the strength to say, the Lord has something better for me and has a better way to live. And that's why we keep our focus on him. That's why we walk side by side with him. And we say, wherever you lead me, that's where I'm going to go. And that's where success is. And yes, maybe I want this thing, and maybe that's the direction you're going to take my life in. And I'm going to work as hard as I can as you call me to go in that direction. But I'm going to trust that even if that's the thing I want, if you take me another direction, you are faithful to me, so I will be faithful to you. How do we do that? How do we keep our focus on Christ when the world around us is trying to get us to focus on something different? I think an analogy is good here. I love to think about how so much of the technology that we use in the world is just trying to imitate the amazing things that God has already created, right? We want to see like an eagle, so we create binoculars, right? We want to be loud, so we create megaphones. Like all of these things that God has given us, the creativity to see what he has already done and go, can we create like God has? And he says, yes, go create. It's really, really cool. And I think computers are really one of those really cool things that God has given us the creativity to make. And think about how far we have come in computer design and technology, right? Some of those who are our seniors who are looking in the world of computer engineering and math, you probably know these things, right? The first computer that we know about, right, the first computer that was made was like the size of a room, and not a small room. Like, it was a big room, right? And now we have microchips that are smaller than my pinky. I don't know, I got a big hand, but still, that's pretty small, right? It has microchips that are the size of my pinky nail. And that those microchips have transistors on them that are the size of DNA strands. How do we make something the size of DNA? I don't know, but somebody's done it. But you know what? That very first computer that was the size of a room, and that computer that's got 45,000 transistors that are the size of my pinky, they're all pretty much the same. Whether it's a computer on your desk or the one we keep in our pocket that we call a phone, here's what we know to be true. They can only spit out what we put into them. They can't give us something new and different. Even AI is just reading a whole lot. We call it artificial intelligence. It's just really well read. That's all. Right? It can only give us what's been put in. And computers are just man's best attempt to create what God has already made in our brain. And so our brain and our heart, in a lot of ways, can only spit out what we put into it. That's why God connects being strong and courageous to his word and not some emotion. Joshua's strength, Joshua's courage was tied to his intake of and meditation on the word of God. Verse 7 and 8, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice that God doesn't connect his victory here to any battle that Joshua is going to win. He doesn't say, hey, listen, if you get across that Jordan River really well, that's it. No, he says, you read my word, you meditate on my word, and then you will have good success. God, he says, I'm going to give you that victory. I'm going to take care of that. You meditate on my word. Success is not found in fame or fortune. It's found in faithfulness, and not just any faithfulness, but faithfulness to the word of the Lord. Our successes, they rise and fall in our obedience to God because our faithfulness to God is displayed in our obedience to him. Now you might say, yeah, but I'm not Joshua. I'm not a military leader. Hold on, I'm just a senior. I'm just going to college and I'm gonna sit in some more math classes and English classes and stuff. Like, really? Like, this is a guy who's leading 2 million people. Like, can you really expect the same of me? I'm not standing on the other side of a river about to walk across and fight giants and armies and nations that wanna kill me, right? I'm just me. Does this really apply to me? Well, let's hear the words of David. Yeah, I know, David, another king. But David writes to the everyday man. He writes to the people of Israel words that they can sing as they worship him. And what do those words say in Psalm 1, 1 through 4? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are chaff that the wind drives away. Yeah, these are promises given to Joshua. And Joshua did some pretty incredible things. But God doesn't say that it's just for him. God says, this is true for you too. This is true for me. So friends, we are called to look at the seasons of our life and walk through them with faithfulness because God is faithful. We are to look and say, how can I live on mission for God right now? How do we do that? Where do we go from here? What do we do? Well, there's three things that I want to pull out of here and just encourage us as we close this morning. Just to take these words again, we're going to be on the nose. Where do we go from here? Number one, let's own the transitions. Don't let them own you. Own the transitions. Don't let them own you. Seniors, everyone else in this room, don't let the anxiety of life's big moments overshadow the transition in your life and what God might do as you close out one season and begin another. Celebrate this moment. Look backwards with gratitude at what God has done and look forward to what God will do with anticipation and excitement. Celebrate this moment as an opportunity to let your obedience to God be on full display as you trust his guidance and his leadership. Yes, one part of life is ending. Any of us who have walked through any different seasons can say that's true. But God has something great in store for all of us in this next season. Those are his promises. Trust in God as you walk through the next season. Own the moment by asking God one question. How do you want to use me right now? In this next chapter of the story of my life that you are writing. Own the transition. Number two, run into God's mission, not away from responsibility. Remember, we live in a culture where it is easy to delay responsibility. I'll get serious later. I'll grow up later. I'll serve in the church later. I'll get committed to the church later. I'll do that later. Take the gap year. Go find some time. Figure out who you are. No, Run into God's mission. Parents, what do we often say to our kids? You might be able to finish this sentence for me. Delayed obedience is just disobedience. Don't put off what God has for you this next season. Don't wait. Seniors, you all were made for more than just surviving the next 4 years of your life. You were made for more than just saying, I'll figure it out later. Church, we were made for more than that. We were made for more than just consuming content and going about our day. Let's get serious now. Let's run into God's mission for us now. And that mission starts where our feet hit the floor. Where does God have me now? God, what will you have me do? Number three, store up for yourself strength and courage now by being in God's word. The truth is, none of us, seniors or otherwise, will survive the next season, let alone thrive, apart from being rooted in the word of God. When the world screams, be more, achieve more, the word of God says Jesus is enough. When the anxieties in life keep us paralyzed, God whispers to our heart, remember that I am with you. God uses his word stored up inside of us to remind us of these big, beautiful, freeing truths that he is with us. It'd be a lot easier, at least I've often thought, right, about how my life would be easier. It's certainly easier to accomplish the things in life if my life came with a soundtrack, right? Like if I knew that today I had to get a whole lot of work done, and as I open the door and step out into the garage, that montage music starts playing in the background, and I can start walking through the garage, getting things done to some super inspirational music, right? Or I'm sitting in the coffee shop, and I feel the Spirit moving me to share my faith, and so that person is there, and then suddenly there's that inspirational song in the back of my head that suddenly starts playing, and maybe other people can hear it too, I hope, right? And then it's like, oh, the orchestra kicks in, and I go share the gospel, right? Or it's day three of camp and I Will Survive starts playing. I'm kidding, camp is awesome, right? But what more beautiful soundtrack in life could we have than the promises of God running through our mind in every moment? Our hearts being spurred on towards strength and courage as the promises of God sit as we meditate on them. To be loud, it has to be there. And waiting until the moment we need it just ain't enough to go find it. Start now. Plant the word of God in your heart now, and you'll reap the harvest of courage when you need it the most. Own the transitions. Run into the mission that God has for you. Plant yourself. Store up that courage in God's word. Let's take a moment and let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. You know, we see that the reality is that we walk through moments and transitions and seasons in life. God, I pray this morning we would be encouraged by your word. It is a reality and you know it. You're not surprised by it. So God, whatever season of life we find ourselves in, God, whether we've been there for a while or whether it's gonna be a while before we walk out of it, or well, maybe we're like these seniors where we're on the precipice of a new season of life. God, whatever it is, I pray that we would own it by trusting you in it. God, we would not be afraid of this next moment, but instead we would have excitement and anticipation about what you're gonna do in these next moments, in these next seasons. And I would pray that each of us would look at this next season and say, how can we run fast into the mission of God to make much of your name and much of your kingdom? How will you use us? Because you are faithful and good. And you are faithful to grant us real success and real victory because you will be with us. And we don't run alone. We don't walk into this next season alone. We don't have to go by ourselves, but we go with the one who is above all things. God, as we sang already, you are above thrones and powers and dominions and authorities. You are above it all, and you walk with us. I pray that we would see that, God, and we would worship in the remembering of your great promises. And think, God has a mission for me in this next stage, and he's going to walk with me in it. God, and I pray that we would store up your word in our heart to remember that. And that we would would plant your word deep in our heart, that when we need it, when we need that strength and that courage, when the world is all around us telling us all kinds of other things or encouraging us in all kinds of other directions, God, that we would have the strength and the courage in our heart to say, Jesus is the better way. And we would walk in him. God, if there is one in this room who would say, I hear the faithful promises of God, but I've never felt them in my heart. Yeah, that seems great, but how can I know that Jesus is walking with me? Maybe they've never walked in faith with you, and today is a day when they say, I want that. I want the type of relationship with God that reminds me of his faithful promises, where I see that all of his promises come to fruition through Jesus Christ, and I want to walk in newness with him. Now, if they need to talk about what it looks like to be in relationship with him, God, I pray that you would give them boldness to come. God, as we continue to worship, as we respond to your word, God, I pray that we would respond seeking out that strength and that courage. God, we thank you for these moments that we get to celebrate all of life's great milestones and celebrate with these seniors and these families. But God, we pray, celebrating most of all your son, Jesus Christ. Grateful for the salvation we can have in him. God, we thank you. We love you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.